Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com.
Imagine the greatest disappointment between two things happening. Number one, our overlay not showing up. So here it is.
I was gonna say, yeah.
And number two, imagine the second greatest disappointment, expecting Sean Ross Sapp and getting the guy who loves Springsteen more than you do here. I'm John Alba. That's Jimmy Van. This is The Hump. It is April 24th, 2024. What's going on, Jimmy? How we doing, man?
Good to see you, John. I'm responsible for that title, by the way.
Well, I appreciate that because it is, yep. It's factually accurate.
I could have gone in a lot of different directions and I decided to go with that. But I was telling John off the air, the rare occasion where I've missed this due to illness, Sean will like rib me and say on the air, Jimmy has raging diarrhea. And now Sean's away. But that's all I'm going to say about that.
You've got a layup here to take a dig and that's what you're going to leave us with?
I am a professional, John.
I mean, so am I, but I'll throw that guy under the bus whenever I can. Hey, this is truth. So I work on SNY, which is the Mets network here, and I hosted a show last night because it was a West Coast game. So I didn't go live on air till like 2 a.m. I commute 1 hour 20 minutes to work. Oh. I didn't get home till like 5. Okay.
Wow.
And I got a text from Sean at like 8:30 a.m. He's like, "Hey, could you fill in on a couple shows for me today?" And I'm like, you know what, buddy? I know you're going through it right now. You got it. And then he proceeds to crap all over Bruce Springsteen immediately after that. And I'm like, what am I signing up for here? What's up with that?
Have you ever heard about those people where when they tease you and rib you, that means they like you?
I would like to think that, but I've worked with individuals who tease me and I'm pretty sure they don't like me. So I
okay. So they're real bullies and Sean is just kind of a fake.
Correct. Boy. Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I'm with you. Well, absolutely. It's good to see you, buddy. We haven't done anything like this since Know Your News, I don't think.
Yeah. Long time. Yeah. I appreciate the opportunity. It's great to chat with you, Jimmy. Yeah. Want to let everyone know there are no Humper Chats today, but we are highly encouraging Super Chats. Make sure you leave them. We will get to them for you on this edition of The Hump. We got a lot to talk about, including a couple big hard news stories with the Federal Trade Commission and non-compete clauses, which I'm sure Jimmy will have a lot to say on. We got an update on the Vince McMahon, Janelle Grant lawsuit. We're going to be talking WWE releases and some other news items as well. Van Twinblade leaving the super chat saying, "What happened to Sean's face?" Really, though, St. Louis crowd for Hater of the Week, 10 out of 10 pay-per-view, better than Mania. Wow, quite the statement there, Jimmy.
You know what? I haven't seen it all yet. And so okay. It's hard for me to really comment. I mean, it's funny because, you know, you always have this tribalism, right, with the two companies. And the AEW fans don't want to acknowledge anything in WWE is good. The WWE fans don't want to acknowledge anything in AEW is good. That's just kind of how it is. I thought Mania 40 Cody Roman was an all-timer. Like, I just loved it. And I know, okay, was it Ospreay Omega in the ring? No. Was it supposed to be? No. It was a spectacle, but I loved it. And I haven't seen all of Ospreay Danielson yet. I'm sure it'll be great. They're different. Why can't you love them both? You know, I said this to Sean a couple of weeks ago because I try to call it down the middle the best I can. If you don't like AEW, don't watch it. But why hope they die so that people lose their job?
It's just so
ridiculous.
That's
what I don't understand.
You it's know what I mean? So ridiculous, Jimmy. And like to your comment there about the Cody comparison and all that, I put this out there as well a few days ago. Let's appreciate for a second that in the month of April, we got two of the most memorable American TV matches of all time with Cody versus Roman and Ospreay versus Danielson. Yep. And they were memorable for completely opposite and totally different reasons. Yep. And no one would fault you for loving one more than the other. Like what you like. And if you don't like something, don't give it your energy.
Yeah, I've always felt that way. Like a lot of people get off on the negativity, but I've always felt that way. Somebody in the live chat said, Jimmy, what's going on with your upper lip? I could say herpes, but the reality is I had an allergic reaction. I went out dinner. I went out for dinner and I don't know what I'm allergic to, but I went out for dinner on Friday night to a restaurant and I woke up Saturday morning broken out.
Oh no. So, yeah. I hope you're doing better. Maybe it was,
I'm good. I feel perfectly fine, but hopefully it
was. Pat says we're getting Jimmy John's for lunch this hump day. Hopefully it wasn't Jimmy John's.
Wait, it was a little nicer than Jimmy John's, but,
okay. Yeah. You strike me as someone who might go a little nicer. So
sometimes I appreciate your Wagyu posts. Cause I'm into that. Oh,
dude. Yeah. Yeah. I'm once I turned 30, like I'm in my 30s, I just got so ingrained in steak culture and like understanding that. And like, I mean, for my 30th, a bunch of my friends got me this insane package of three extremely high quality Japanese A5 Wagyus.
And beautiful.
One of them was an olive Wagyu, which is like one of the most expensive steaks in the world. And I couldn't believe they actually paid money out of their pockets for me like that. Mm-hmm. But it was unbelievable. So I'm glad you get it, Jimmy.
If I ever see you in Toronto, I'm going to be leaving Toronto in a couple of months. But if I ever see you in Toronto, there's a place downtown called Michael's on Simcoe. If anybody in the chat knows Toronto, Canada, Michael's on Simcoe, the best Wagyu ever.
Interesting.
And I always get it with frog raw on top.
Frog raw.
It's amazing. So okay. I promise you, I will take you to Michael's on Simcoe if I ever see you in Toronto.
Well, if you'd like to help Jimmy afford that dinner, leave us your super chats as well, because that would be great. Oh, man. Just, again, one of those really, really busy weeks in the wrestling realm. I feel like we've been saying that for years now. Honestly, the past couple of years, specifically Fightful Select, obviously on top of almost all of these stories immediately. So if you're not a Fightful Select subscriber, it's the best $5 you're going to spend in the industry. Make sure you're supporting Sean and the team with that. But the biggest story, which was a national story that we can almost localize to the pro wrestling world here in the United States, Jimmy, is that the Federal Trade Commission Tuesday voted 3-2 in favor of adopting a historic and far-reaching ban on non-compete agreements, per the Huffington Post words, I want to say, potentially giving more leverage on the job market to millions of U.S. workers. The agency has said that the agreements in which workers are forbidden from seeking a job with a competing business for a certain period of time leads to an unfair method of competition and violates federal law. The vote by the agency's five commissioners this week means the ban will move forward. Again, it was 3-2, with the three being Democratic-leaning, the two being Republican-leaning. This is set to go into effect over the course of the next 120 days. How does it affect pro wrestling? Well, non-competes are a huge part of pro wrestling, and we're still trying to understand the exact legality and wording of it, because there are different non-compete situations per different companies in wrestling. But Jimmy, on the surface, what's your initial reaction to all that?
Well, the first thing I want to do is explain what that means, because, you know, social media, John, and there were people on Twitter that said, oh, does this mean that like a wrestler can work for WWE and AEW at the same time? No. So a non-compete clause does not mean that, and I'm going to talk about this in pro wrestling terms, doesn't mean that a wrestler can work for two companies at the same time. What it means is that when you leave a company, they cannot enforce a non-compete on you, meaning they can't say for a certain period of time, you cannot work for another company. In pro wrestling terms, I really don't think it's really anything. And the reason I say that is because the non-competes now are only 90 days. If they were a year, totally different. right? If WWE said when you're released 365 day non-compete, then it's a big deal. 90 days is nothing. And so to me, it's not that big of a deal. The only place where it could be a big deal is if you're a permanent employee of the company. So let's say that you're not a wrestler, you're in creative or you're in production and you're a valued employee and you're a permanent employee. If you give your notice and work out your notice period, then you could immediately jump to AEW. Or right. If you're on the AEW side, you can immediately jump to WWE. That would be interesting. But otherwise, if you're a wrestler, I don't really think it's that big of a deal. And to be honest with you, I think a lot of pro wrestlers, if they're not ready to immediately jump into another company, they might prefer the 90 days because they get paid for the 90 days.
Yeah.
So I think this is more for, you know, like the average worker. Like I read a story. I didn't even know this. I read that Papa John's has a non-compete. I couldn't believe that.
This actually all stemmed from the basis of it was in a Jimmy John's non-compete.
Isn't that something? How is that possible? You know,
well, it's funny. So I talked about this when the news dropped. You know, me coming from TV news, non-competes are a huge thing in TV news. And I'll give you a very specific example. I was a reporter and anchor in Orlando, Florida. And one of the terms of my contract was for 6 months after my contract ended, I was not allowed to work in Central Florida for any station. So Orlando,
no compensation
for Orlando and Tampa. If you sign this contract, you have a non-compete for those markets.
Okay.
And this was years ago, keep in mind, but so like, that's what we're talking about in terms of non-compete, because think about this in that context. If someone is a really good journalist or whatever, and they get a great offer from another outlet in a similar region, they wouldn't be able to make that jump for their own career enhancement and personal enhancement. And that's what a law like this is actually looking at. Now, like you said, in WWE's case, WWE typically pays out the duration of the non-compete, whether it's a 30-day or a 90-day, whatever that may be. So it's not to say that these individuals aren't getting paid. But, Jimmy, there are circumstances where people are forced to miss big events because they can't make the jump over in time. Like if someone were to, hypothetically speaking here, get released from WWE in June, they wouldn't be able to be on AEW All In at Wembley Stadium. And that there might be something to that.
Sure. Yeah. Depending on who you are. Right. I mean, obviously it's a case by case. If you're a named talent and if you want to keep working, then you're going to probably want to go right away. If you're a lower card guy, or if you're a younger wrestler, maybe you want that 90 days to kind of figure out what you're going to do next. But it sounds like it's going to be a thing of the past, at least in the US. I can tell you, for me being in Canada, I always had non-competes in my contracts as an employer, but we never enforced it because, like, I was dealing with salespeople and things like that. And so I wasn't, unless they were a real ass to me, I was never going to enforce it. And WWE, again, if you think about it, right, if you're WWE or if AEW, and if you released a talent, do you really give a shit if they're going to be on the other show the next day as opposed to 90 days from now? Probably not, you know? So a lot of people online were like, oh my God, this is going to change pro wrestling. No, to me, it's really not a big deal at all. Again, like I said, if you're a permanent employee, if you're a sought after permanent employee, that could be a different matter, because a permanent employee might have a 1 year non-compete. It's very possible.
Well,
right.
I put this out there, Jimmy, on social after this news came down, and I'll be very open about talking about it. I won't get into specifics of who it was, but a few years ago, there was what I would call a prominent pro wrestling company that went and offered me a deal. On sight unseen, we didn't even talk. They contacted me and offered me a deal to put me on television. And of the terms, it was an exclusive per date deal that they wanted me to also sign a 2 year non-compete.
What?
In pro wrestling. That after the expiration of them deciding they didn't want to use me anymore, I wouldn't be able to work in pro wrestling for 2 years. That was what they tried to tack on. And I think that's what something like this would very much enforce against, even though truthfully, that probably wouldn't have been very enforceable.
No, I was going to say, John Alba, you ever have an issue like that, you hit me up.
I mean, I was going that to politely decline anyway.
Yeah,
I was going
to
politely. I didn't even get to rebuttal. I was going to politely decline anyway, but
the thing, right? A lot of people are terrified by the idea of the law. and they're terrified by the idea of lawyers. And so a lot of people will abide by that because they're terrified, right? Like, I don't know if you're familiar with the story that happened years ago. We had an issue years ago, and everything is cool with WWE, but we had an issue years ago where WWE threatened legal against us.
Yes.
Because we had scripts on Select. And Sean was new to the legal process and he was terrified. He was like really rattled by it. I've dealt with it many times. And so I just told Sean, I'll take care of it myself. And I did. And I talked to WWE and took care of it. A lot of people are terrified by it. And so they will honor it. But you'd be surprised what is not enforceable if you actually will get yourself a decent lawyer.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And some people are just intimidated by the idea of a legal process in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
Joel brings up here, WWE don't really have non-compete. They have 90-day notices of termination of the contract. It's a loophole that I think makes it enforceable, he says.
Maybe. I haven't seen a WWE contract, so I can't comment. We've always kind of referred to it as a non-compete.
Right.
But I mean, again, I think anything that's, to me, that's kind of semantics. I think anything that's going to stop you, if you're released today, anything that's going to stop you from working somewhere else tomorrow, if you want to, I think the FTC is trying to do away with it.
Yeah. So, and it's going to be interesting to see the wide ranging effect that ultimately has on other individuals outside pro wrestling. And you know, plus you got to imagine there's going to be challenges in court to it too.
Oh, yep. They've already said that. Yeah. And you know, one thing that I did think about, I've questioned what kind of paperwork some AEW talents have that are kind of more along the lines of employees, like the Young Bucks. I think Jericho's new deal included things like benefits. I could be mistaken, but I thought I read something about that. And even John Moxley, I'd be curious if that might, not saying that they would ever want to leave and, you know, get past a non-compete, but I'm just saying if it's different, structured differently than a typical contract, that'd be interesting to know, number one, what kind of a non-compete do they have? And number two, what would happen if they wanted to make the jump? But I think ultimately in pro wrestling, it's really not going to be a big deal at all.
No, I largely tend to agree with you as well. You know, we could tie it in. We did get some WWE releases this week. Von Wagner, Sourav Veer, Jinder Mahal, Xia Li, Zion Quinn, and Cameron Grimes, who we found out about yesterday as we record this on Wednesday, who gave a very a tearful video talking about his release. Sean reported on Fightful Select just before we went on air here that there's a lot of interest in Cameron Grimes, regardless of what ends up happening with him, which I'm not too surprised by either. But these WWE cuts kind of coming out of nowhere here. And I think Grimes really stands out as one of the guys on that list. Jinder Mahal, former WWE champion, too. What do you make of it?
It seems like an annual thing after Mania. Like it seems like every year after Mania, April-ish, they tend to do this. I think it's a unfortunate part of the business. We've seen now AEW did it too. So it's kind of an unfortunate part of the business. The main thing about this particular list of names is all of them were not utilized.
Yeah.
And that's the unfortunate thing. It's not like these guys were given a ton of opportunity and they just weren't able to succeed. They weren't utilized. Cameron Grimes had a character in NXT. Then when he got to the main roster, he doesn't have a character. He's just this smiley guy going out there putting people
And not
over.
Just a character, Jimmy, an over-character.
An
a
over-character. Very over-character. Yes, yes. And, you know, Jinder Mahal, I mean, they did nothing with him until the match with Rollins and then the promo with Rock. Otherwise, they did nothing with him. Veer Mahal was coming for almost 2 years.
That's true.
Like, they just did nothing with these guys. So that's the unfortunate aspect of it, but it is a business. And, you know, again, AEW fans in the past, they'll shit on WWE for cutting people, but now AEW's done it too. It's just an unfortunate part of the business.
I was a little surprised about Von Wagner too, because I feel like he had made a lot of improvement in the last year or so. And it seemed like he was going to be in a more featured spot in WWE. If you remember when NXT 2.0 launched, they almost had him win the title on night one of it. Like they clearly saw something very big in him. Now, given that was Vince McMahon's NXT 2.0, essentially, and he took one look at him, he said, okay, here's a guy who can be a world champion.
Yeah, hey, you look like Edge.
Right. Yeah. But I thought he was doing good work. And Cameron Grimes is the one that really does surprise me quite a bit. And Matt saying, it sucks, but I get why Wagner, Quinn, Lee, Jinder, and Indashir were cut, but they were all green with WWE for a long time and didn't improve. But why Grimes? I don't know, man. Just like the character thing. And plus, like, that Cameron Grimes character got over in Paul Levesque's NXT. So now that Paul Levesque is running the show, you'd almost suspect that he would get a chance, because he didn't, like you said, he got no chance here.
No, he didn't. He didn't. I mean, I'm sure that Hunter probably had some pressure on him to do some cuts. But the one that to me was a wasted opportunity was Veer Mahan, because his real 100%. Life story, right? His real life story. They've been trying
literally
to
tap a Disney into, movie, like literally a Disney
right,
movie.
Right. Yeah. And they've been trying to tap into the Indian market for years. That's why Jinder Mahal won the title to begin with. They've been trying to tap into that market. Veer Mahal on social media is a completely different guy than what they present on social media. He's got the custom suits on and he's got the nice cars and he's looking pretty sharp. And on television, because he's the evil foreigner guy, you know, the Vincent Man template, he never got an opportunity. And he was a guy that I just always felt they could have done something with him to try to break into the Indian market. They didn't. He was just another evil foreigner guy. And he is somebody, it wouldn't surprise me if he gets an opportunity, whether it be with AEW or somebody else, just based on his story, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And it is something that absolutely, totally should have been tapped into. I mean, like you said, this is a guy who, I mean, you know, he looks real clean, like takes care of himself. It's the type of guy that you look and you're like, he's confident in himself. And I've got a feeling that one of those reasons he's feeling confident is because he's using Manscaped.
Let's be real. Big nasty pubes are gross. You want that tree to stand taller. Sometimes you got to do a little bit of landscaping. Sometimes you got to do a little bit of manscaping. With manscaped.com and that code FIFA, you're going to save 20% off your order and get free shipping. What a deal. And how about this? They've got a ton of deals on that site. They got a lot of bundles, a lot of packages to help out your package. But it's not just your package. It's your body. It's your hair. They got deodorant. They've got shampoo. They've got foot deodorant. They got ball toner. They got everything at manscaped.com. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And when you use that code FIGHTFUL, get 20% off your order and free shipping. Just a plethora of different options. Maybe you want to try a little bit of everything. Maybe you just want to try one thing. Well, Manscaped and the code FIGHTFUL will get you there. Make that tree stand taller and trim it up a little bit with Manscaped.
You know, Jimmy, Matt brings up a good point here, too. Starting to see WWE lock down big names to new deals. Cody last month, Finn Balor this month. Another one he doesn't mention, Damian Priest as well. So, you know, maybe having to free up a little extra cash for some of those big names they know are guarantees.
Yeah, because they need to free up extra cash.
Right.
Yeah,
they you know need what that. I mean. In the talent allocated budget sector.
I don't know what the percentage is of revenue minus talent contracts.
Yeah.
I know it's not high.
Yeah.
But I also know that they got new deals kicking in the end of the year. Oh,
I want to make very clear. I'm not sitting here being like, they're bleeding money. They need room. It's just, the way they allocate that stuff, sometimes that's just what they do.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's an annual thing. I mean, they're always doing these recruitment efforts now in NXT, right? And so they're always bringing in what, a dozen people. And then of those, a few of them are going to make it. A few of them are going to get called up. A lot of them are. I mean, this is just what happens. And with AEW for a long time, people were scratching their heads. You guys have a bloated roster for 4 hours of television or whatever they had. It just seemed like you're spending a lot of money for no reason. And so guys had to get cut there too. That's what happens. I'll tell you what's interesting with WWE now, and I want your thoughts on this. So like you said, Cody re-signed, Finn Balor re-signed. They got Becky Lynch, her contract's coming up. She just won the women's world title. Mm-hmm. Drew McIntyre's contract is coming up. He's heavily featured on television. Seth Rollins' contract is coming up. He's out with a torn meniscus. Seems to me like WWE is not too concerned about re-signing these people. Especially the way they're utilizing Becky and Drew despite their contract status. Dave Meltzer reported something. He said WWE talent appears to be less likely to jump to AEW than they were in the past. What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on that report, and why would you think that is?
I generally tend to agree with it because I think the proof is in the pudding when it comes to improved creative output with WWE, where talent are given more liberties. They're given more ability to be themselves. They are more authentically what they want to be presented as. You know, AEW came in as the alternative because that was not being offered to talent. So here, you come to us and we will give you that autonomy. We will give you an opportunity to be what you want to be, give you creative flexibility. And now that we're seeing that with WWE, and I think that's very conscious from WWE's end and Paul Levesque's end to make sure that they're going out there and saying, hey, this is a place where you will be creatively fulfilled. You will have input. I don't want to jump the gun on Sean's reporting because I don't believe this has been reported yet, but I know that in a lot of talent negotiations, there is some creative flexibility in terms of how do you want to be presented. And I think that's very helpful for some of them. So I think there's probably merit to that report, Jimmy.
I think that's a big part of it. I also question, and here's where, you know, AEW fans are going to shit on me, but that's okay. I question if, to me, AEW over the last couple of years, they've been like a melting pot. And what I mean by that is they bring in a big name and it feels like just nothing changes. The needle doesn't move. You know, it feels like there's another person. Mercedes Moné hasn't moved the needle yet. Ospreay hasn't moved the needle yet. Adam Copeland hasn't moved the needle yet in terms of television ratings and in terms of live event attendance. I question if some of these names look at that and think, you know, WWE's hot. They're selling out arenas. I wonder if they're thinking, I don't want to wrestle in front of 3,000 people. Like, I don't know. I'm just kind of questioning. Yeah. But I will say this, though. Sorry to cut you off.
No,
but
go ahead. Go ahead.
I will say this. To me, you know, when you get to a point in your life where you got a family and you're in your 30s, maybe you're getting to your 40s, I would take the less dates for the more money.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Cause yeah. You know, I mean, that's something that Hardy and I talk about all the time, right?
Yes.
Like when you got the family and everything, because listen, AEW may not offer you as much as WWE is going to, they might offer you as much.
They
as
might. WWE's yeah, going they, to. Might, they might. Yeah.
But even if they're not that lighter schedule and the ability to go work conventions and make that extra side cash that could make up for a potential difference or whatever that is, that's massive for a lot of these talents.
I agree.
And, you know, let's not sit here and act like the world is ending. Like, AEW is still great television exposure for any of these people. But, you know, I mean, what's the reality? Like, let's say you're Drew McIntyre and you're being presented how you're being presented right now on WWE TV. What is AEW going to offer you that's going to be better than how you're being presented right now?
Yeah, this is where I guess we have to it's up to the talent to decide what they want.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Right. So that's my point. So it's like, that's what they're going to have to ask themselves. And can AEW present Drew McIntyre better than he's being presented right now? I don't know. Maybe they could. Maybe they wouldn't be able to. So that's where it's going to be circumstantial based on the talent. But I mean, it does boil down to this, man. Like, and this is just proof in the pudding as to how healthy the industry as a whole right now is, where these people get released from WWE. There's no shortage of places that they can go to work if they want to.
Absolutely.
And that is huge. Even if it's just going to the indies with the advent of Triller TV and IWTV, they have more equity than ever going to the indies and having TV exposure.
How many times has Cardona said, I made more at the meet and greet than I did for my match?
Yeah.
He posts that all the time.
Oh, right? My God.
And he's always telling talent. I respect Cardona a lot. He's always telling talent, you know, where's your merch? Like, why the hell aren't you packing merch when you go to a show? Because a lot of talent still doesn't do a lot of this stuff, right? So there's definitely money that can be made. And you see Mustafa Ali is making a go of it. And Nick Nemeth is making a go of it. So you can definitely do it. Now, is it a grind? Yes, it is. But it can be done. And you can end up making more than you made with the bigger company, you know?
And so, Cardona is making
yeah,
more.
Exactly. And- exactly. Yeah. The one thing I will say, too, about WWE, I question if Hunter is going to be more willing to be flexible on schedules. Because I know Rollins is one guy that's done interviews and he said, you know, I'd like to spend more time with my daughter. But then he's also said, I'm a lifer. I'm a WWE lifer. Mm-hmm. So if you're Hunter, are you going to be like, okay, you know, let's cut you down to just TV or something? I don't know. I wonder if there's going to be more flexibility there. They've already cut down the house show schedule compared to what it used to be. I think they're doing, what, 3 a week now?
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday, mm-hmm. Sunday? Yep. Or and then they got Raw, I guess, on Monday for that crew. So, yeah, I feel like there's just a lot more flexibility in general. And I think at the end of the day, what WWE has to understand, and I think they do understand, is they're a content company now. They're not a live event company. Live event's not where their money's made.
The model has changed so much in a very quick period of time, and including how talent make money, too, where it's not based off the gate anymore.
That's right. You know?
So that has all changed substantially, and the pay structure. Joel adding another here. Thanks for all the super chats, Joel. We encourage anyone to send them in as well. Since TKO took over, they retained Cody, Bailey, Ray, and Dom, Finn, Charlotte, Priest. The only guy they've lost is Edge. So I think there's merit to Dave's report.
So this Sean and I had this conversation a couple of weeks ago. They didn't lose Edge.
No, he chose. He chose.
Yeah, but Adam Copeland in his own, like he admitted himself, WWE didn't see for him what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
WWE wanted him to be kind of a part-time attraction. He wanted to be a full-time contributor. It was different, right? Just like, well, like a Will Ospreay, there were so many people that were saying, oh, Tony Khan is crushing these people with signing free agents. Will Ospreay, by his own admission, said, I wanted to be able to work for other companies. I wanted to be able to maintain a residence in the UK. You couldn't have done that in the WWE schedule. You couldn't have. The only one where I think it came down to money was Mercedes.
Agreed.
Where Sean reported for FIFO Select that she wanted, you know, reportedly Becky Lynch money. And with all due respect to her, she didn't deserve it after being gone for 2 years, right? But everybody else, I think there was other things that attracted them to AEW, like you get to work for other companies, which I think is big for whether it be Will Ospreay, whether it be for Bryan Danielson. You can't do that on the WWE schedule. So, you know, it's very different. It'd be different if two people are offered the exact same thing for both. And then they pick one over the other, but it's never going to be apples to apples. The WWE schedule is different. And that's just how it is. And like we talked about earlier, look, you know, I'm in my late 40s now. If I was a wrestler in my late 40s, if I was Adam Copeland, I would only want to do TV. I wouldn't do any house shows. You know what I mean? So and there's definitely things they can offer.
To wrap this note here, like we also don't know with the new TV pieces falling into place, they might end up changing up the schedule as is, because for all we know, in theory, Monday Night Raw might not be Monday Night Raw anymore.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Dynamite going to 3 hours.
I was gonna allude to that too. That was gonna be another transition here, you know, into Dynamite, where, you know, AEW, they announced this Saturday is gonna be another 3 hour block. You know, they're moving stuff around right now because of the playoffs going on in both the NHL and the NBA. But it certainly feels like that it's also an exploratory period for what AEW programming could be structured to look like under a new media rights deal, especially one under the Warner Brothers Discovery umbrella. Dynamite 3 hours, you know, I feel like that's been floated out there for a while now. I mean, what do you make of this experimenting going on here?
I think they're definitely going to 3 hours. I think it's either going to be Wednesday night or Saturday night. They've been doing this experiment for a while. They've done it on Wednesdays and they've done it on Saturdays where they tack on Rampage at the end. And the obvious results have been there, because when you have AEW as your lead in, you're going to have better numbers than you would have when Rampage is kind of dead in the water by itself on a Friday night. So they've seen higher viewership. They've seen higher numbers in the 1849 demo. And Warner Brothers Discovery, they got to get value in their new deal. If they're going to pay more money on their new deal, when Collision has been down double digits, Rampage has been down double digits, Dynamite's been down, and cable cutting is definitely a part of that, but it's not the only reason. So when all of that's been happening and you expect an increase on your next deal, Warner Brothers has to get value. I think that Dynamite, and I know AEW fans don't want to hear this because, look, Raw's a drag, you know, being 3 hours too sometimes. I think Dynamite's going 3 hours. And so it's something that AEW fans are just going to have to accept because I think that's where they're headed. I think Rampage is going to be eliminated. Either they'll keep the Rampage branding or they'll just make the third
hour. That's what I was going to ask you. So with Dynamite going 3 hours, you would see there being compensation on the other end where that comes in the form of either cutting Rampage or altering Collision or anything of that nature.
Absolutely. Like why add another hour and keep Rampage doing basically eroding numbers on a Friday night? Collision has been doing eroding numbers on a Saturday. I don't know what Warner Brothers Discovery's targets were. I know at one point a while back, Brandon Thurston had posted numbers for what they used to do with movie reruns. And Collision had now in many weeks gone below what the movie reruns were doing. So but at the same time, they've had cord cutting too, right? So I don't know if Warner Brothers Discovery is content with what they're doing Fridays and Saturdays, but I think it's not by accident that they've been removing Rampage around. They're doing this on purpose. And so I think they will eliminate Rampage on Friday night. And I think they'll tack the hour probably to Dynamite on Wednesday.
Yeah. And again, like on the other end, we don't know what the deal is going to be with WWE's television, like SmackDown. You know, one of the reasons Rampage was at 10 on Fridays is, you know, because it wasn't going to go at 8 o'clock on Fridays and against SmackDown. So, you know, what does that end up looking like? Does that affect anything for me, Jimmy, with Dynamite? I think the biggest thing, and this is me just kind of guessing this with some added context and putting temper out there, getting a feel for things. But I think the biggest precedence for Tony Khan and this new TV deal, and one of the reasons why it might be taking so long with Warner Brothers Discovery right now, is that I think they really, really want Dynamite streaming 100%. On Max, and not just pay-per-views on Max. I think they want Dynamite specifically streaming on Max.
You mean streaming live?
Streaming live on Max.
Potentially. Yeah. I mean, the numbers that were bandied about were what, 200 million over 5 years, or times 5 years, I should say. That's what they were looking for, right? For them to get there, they have to offer up streaming. They have to offer up their library. They have to offer up pay-per-view. And even then, I don't think they're going to get to 200. I think they're probably going to be looking at maybe upwards of 1.25, 150. But even then, that'll make them profitable to get that. So you know what would really piss off a lot of people? What if they make Dynamite and Collision both 3 hours?
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine that?
I mean, I can imagine it, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
I know. I'm just saying, imagine if they did.
No, but I mean, look, I think AEW with that roster and how big the roster is, concentrating it all on one night's probably the smarter idea, just because you have a chance to really lean into all the versatility that you have acquired and the equity that you can put into that over time. Make it your one-night destination go-to spot. If you want to see AEW TV, Dynamite is the time during the week that you're going to do that. I think there is merit to the idea that AEW TV may have grown too quickly. And growth is good. Growth is always good. But it might have happened before the foundation was totally set. And there was the desire for more TV hours and more content distribution. Not that they wouldn't have gone there, because I do believe they would have gone there. And this new media rights package is going to allude to that. But I mean, do you think there's any merit to that?
I think for Warner Brothers Discovery, it was cheap live programming 52 weeks a year.
Sure.
And I think that Tony Khan, and I agree with him. I think he wanted to appease his partner.
100%.
Right.
Well, and I mean, that's what happened with WCW too, right?
I was just going to say that. So Thunder came about for the same reason. And I know that Eric Bischoff has talked about how that wasn't fun. Russo has talked about how when they added SmackDown, now he was having to double his workload. You know what I mean? It's difficult. But again, if you're Tony Khan, because you got to remember the first deal that they had, I think they were getting something like 40 or 50 million a year, not a lot. Like
45 million, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're getting that, when Warner Brothers is getting that for live programming 52 weeks a year, and you're beating what you were doing otherwise in the key demo, And all of a sudden, Tony Khan's willing to appease you. And hey, let's do something Friday. Hey, let's do something Saturday. And you're going to do it because you want to appease your partner. I think it was too much. And so it's learning steps, right? It's learning along the way for AEW. That's what it's been. And a lot of people are going to be upset when they sign their new deal, John. A lot of people are going to be upset because a lot of people want them to die. They're not going to die. They're going to get an increase. They're going to be profitable in 25. I don't know about 24, but 25, they're going to be profitable. That's just how it is. And I told Sean this before, and maybe if Meltzer's report has any merit to it, maybe that'll change things now. But I told Sean before, when this new deal goes into effect, they're going to change the landscape of wrestling. Because they've shown a willingness not just to pay more money for talent, but they're willing to pay for trans, they're willing to pay for hotel, they're willing to pay for even benefits in some cases, probably because Tony's got the sports background. And so can you imagine if guys' contracts are coming up and they're like, hey, we'll pay your rental car, we'll pay your hotel, we'll bet, like, that's going to be very tempting.
Isn't it amazing that WWE is still not doing most of that stuff?
So Sean had reported, and I don't want to speak for him, but when Charlotte was re-signed, her deal included access to a bus. So that is something that is new, because you're seeing that now. All the top talent have a bus now, right? Yeah. So at least they're getting that. They're getting access to a bus, and they did cut down their schedule. Like I said, they're doing like 3 live events a week now. So it is getting better. But I think you watch what happens when AEW is profitable. And when talent contracts are coming up, they're going to change the landscape of the business. So it's going to be.
I totally agree with you, man. Like 100% on all of that. Her saying, WWE, AEW, can't we all just get along and just enjoy wrestling? Hey, enjoy what you want to. That's how I always look at it. Anakin saying, will AEW really put pay-per-views on Max when buy rates are still solid?
Yes. Depends on the price. So I believe that the reason a new deal hasn't been cut yet is I believe that there's been a gap between what Warner Brothers Discovery wanted to pay and what Tony Khan wanted on a new deal. That's my opinion as to why they haven't signed a new deal yet. If you do the math on what they make per pay-per-view, and I'm spitballing because I don't remember the exact numbers, but I thought it was something between 4 and 5 million total and they get half. I could be wrong, but I think it was something like that. 4 to 5 million and they get half. Because the other half goes to distribution. So that would be, say, 25, 30 million a year for pay-per-view, right? Well, if Warner Brothers Discovery is willing to give you, say, an extra 40 in order to get your pay-per-view rights, you're going to do it. I mean, you're going to do it. So it's no different than WWE eventually going to Peacock. Although the network was a good deal, but when they eventually went to Peacock, if you're going to get $1 billion over whatever it is, 4 or 5 years, and now you're no longer getting the pay-per-view revenue, it works out. And I think the same thing will happen with AEW.
Yeah, I really do think streaming on Max is going to be like a really big part of all of this ultimately. And Tony's going to even try to, my opinion, try to get other properties included with that, like Ring of Honor. And that might be part of the reason why this has been taking a long time too, because they want that content to be available to stream wherever you are. And our friends at Nord can help you do the same.
Nord. NordVPN.com/Fightful. What more can I say that I haven't already said? Well, I'm going to have to say a few things because this is an ad read for NordVPN.com/Fightful. You know, the way that I get UFC pay-per-views for 1/6 the price, the way that I'm able to unlock lots of content, the way that I'm able to keep myself browsing safely and securely when I'm on the road or when I'm at home on all my devices. This bad boy right here, this bad boy right here, all these bad boys around here that you can't even see are all protected with NordVPN.com/Fightful, a 30-day money-back guarantee. You already get a great deal on it. The amount in savings that I had the first month beat the price that I paid for the subscription itself. And again, works on all your devices with one subscription. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Check out their many great tiers and tons of other great features. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Ricardo saying, not opposed to a 3-hour Dynamite, but I'm a sicko.
Well, you know what? Let me ask you this. So a couple of months ago on Twitter, every now and then I will like to tap into the minds of the hardcore fan, whether it be for AEW, WWE, whoever. And a couple months ago, the numbers had come out, I think, for Dynamite and they had been down. And I said something like, why do you guys think that is? Like, those of you watching AEW, why do you think the numbers are down? One of the responses that I got, which I never really considered, is people said there's too much wrestling on television.
Yeah.
And I just never really thought about it because I thought, you know, the devoted audience, maybe they're not watching as much WWE, but that was a very prevalent comment. So I'm curious what 3 hours would do. I mean, 3 hours of Raw affected their viewership. Will 3 hours of Dynamite affect theirs too? The third hour will probably still do better than whatever the hell Warner Brothers airs now. But I don't know. I'm curious. Like, do you think that they're going to risk saturating the brand?
Of course. I mean, that's always a risk you take when you put out more content. Mm-hmm. Even just look in the wrestling podcast realm. Wrestling podcasts were barely existent. Then all of a sudden you get this group of two or three podcasts that set the space on fire. And now everyone and their mother has a wrestling podcast. And those podcasts that originally existed no longer feel as special and as must listen as they used to be. Right. So I certainly think that will be the case. But then you have to keep in mind what is ultimately important to the buyer. What is important to Warner Brothers Discovery? What are the metrics that they're using that determines, okay, AEW is successful in this? One thing we haven't even hit on, what would a deal like this do for ad buying and increasing the value of advertisements for wrestling? That's always, it's so difficult to sell that ad space for pro wrestling because pro wrestling carries the stigma that the NBA, that the NHL doesn't. Even though an episode of Dynamite could outdraw a random Thursday night hockey game on TNT, the ad rate dollar is going to be more expensive for the NHL.
Yep.
So how do they value that as content expands? That's going to be something that we don't know the answer to right now. We won't know that answer maybe ever publicly, but at least until this new media rights deal.
Yeah, and that's a valid point too, because you know Fox passed on SmackDown.
Right.
Right, and SmackDown oftentimes was number one on Friday nights. And I think a few times they were number one the entire week on television.
But if they feel that they could put Friday night college football there, get roughly the same viewership and get more premium ad dollar.
Yep.
That's what's going to happen there.
Yep. A
few more super chats on this. Alexander, I saw where the NBA isn't negotiating with TNT anymore. That could affect AW too, right? More money and moving Collision to a different night.
So this goes two ways. And I actually talked to somebody about this who made a point that I never even considered. This could be good or bad for AEW if they don't resign. And just because the exclusive window was ended, that doesn't mean they're not going to resign with Warner Brothers. But if they don't resign, it could be good or bad. It could be good because now Warner Brothers has this extra money available to put towards AEW. Here's something somebody told me. They said it could be bad because how many broadcasters, cable distributors have TNT and TBS because they pay them carriage fees. That's how they make a lot of their money. How many of them have that because of the NBA coverage? And are they going to be able to get a premium on carriage fees if they don't have NBA coverage? So that could come into play too. We'll see.
Jimmy, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe there was an adjustment in the amount of NBA on Warner Brothers Discovery.
They've already talked about that. Yep.
But I would be very surprised if the NBA is still not on Warner Brothers Discovery by the end of this, because Inside the NBA is like the number one sports show in the country.
Right.
And it is such a valuable property. The NBA is so freaking hot right now as a property, and ESPN has gone all in on the NBA. And the fact that they're willing to split their media negotiations with different entities, I don't know what company, even if they are looking to do cutbacks, I don't know what company wouldn't want to be in on this. And Zaslav knows that. He's not totally immune to that.
I read something about how the NBA was looking for three partners this time instead of two. So they'd be able to split the number of, cut down the number of games each is getting, even though they're paying more.
Sure. So. And I mean, they're, the NBA, people don't realize. I had Raj Giri and I got in an argument about this on Twitter. I like Raj a lot. It has nothing to do with him. But I was just talking about how massive globally the NBA is. And he was like, it's not that big. If I go on vacation in Vietnam, I can't get the NBA finals. I'm like, man, there are far bigger metrics than that. And global reach, the NBA is ahead of the NFL. It's ahead of Major League Baseball. It's ahead of the NHL. So we'll see what comes from that. It's a good question.
I even saw footage from a Thailand versus Kuwait hockey game, John Elba.
There you go.
So sports are worldwide.
I like that.
You know what the score was?
What was the score?
57 to nothing.
Oh my goodness. Who won?
Thailand beat Kuwait 57 to nothing. This is real. This really happened.
I wonder how many rinks there are in Kuwait, but that's another
probably not many.
Another question. Matt having another here. Do you think Tony airing the brawl in footage may put WWE talent out of signing there? I thought it was a mistake and made them look very bad. Dynasty was great.
I don't think it has anything to do with it. I don't think so. I know there were reports that some of the talent wasn't happy with the idea. I don't think so. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think it has to do mostly with the things that we already talked about.
Yeah.
And people have asked me my thoughts on them airing that. I mean, on the night, I thought it was an epic fail. And I think that Tony Khan knows that it was a mistake. But if they can turn Jack Perry into anything, then they've got their reward. So yeah. I'm going to reserve judgment because we got to see.
He got a good reaction too. He got a good reaction at the pay-per-view. So
he did. We'll see where he is 6 months from now. If they could turn him into anything, then they got something out of it.
Want to thank Matt for all the super chats, and we encourage you guys sending your super chats to get them read on air. I think why talent in WWE doesn't want to jump to AEW is how hot the company is. Perception is reality. Also the loyalty to Triple H, and loyalty will be something interesting. And there's another factor about Triple H that we'll get into in just a minute here. But I do want to knock out some of the other super chats that we did get across the rest of the show. Ricardo saying thoughts on the pizza tag belts and the beautiful set.
I love the SmackDown belts. They're beautiful. They did kind of a throwback to the old WWF tag team belts. And I was a big Bulldogs guy back in the day. And when I see those old belts, I think of the British Bulldogs. Those are beautiful. I'm curious, did the same people make the Raw belts?
I'm not sure.
Because they're not great. So this is where my age comes out. Do you remember the old LJN action figure set? Hulk Hogan's belt was the old WWF belt that had a round middle plate like that.
Yep.
When I saw those tag belts, that's the first thing I thought of. I thought of, are they somehow doing a throwback to Hogan's old world title belt? I mean, at least they're better than the old belts they had, because they are. Both sets are better than the old belts they had. But it's amazing that they've got such a different look between the two. One is so praised and the other not so much.
They wanted them to be distinct. Speaking of the shows, Hush saying, do we see Raw being the stacked A show after the draft?
I don't think so. I think that you want to try to spread it out the best you can. You know, you've got two different partners paying you a shit ton of money. So I don't think so. Do you want to talk briefly about who are the big names that you see going back and forth? And that includes NXT too. Like, what are the big names that you see?
Yeah, they've made it very clear that NXT is going to be a pretty substantial part of this. So, I mean, look, Cody's the franchise, right? So everything runs through Cody. I suspect they'll keep Cody on SmackDown for now. Wouldn't be surprised if eventually Roman Reigns ends up on the opposite brand of wherever Cody is, again, to try to anchor that down. I suspect, I guess it really becomes like, do you see anyone moving down to NXT to try to anchor the brand once it moves to CW?
Shinsuke Nakamura.
That's a great pick. That's a great pick.
I think 100% Shinsuke Nakamura is going down. And I think Ilya Dragunov 100% is going up. I mean, he just lost the title.
You see, here's the difference. You're saying going up, going down. I think the perception here that they're going to try, and we know it's still developmental, but I do really think that it's going to try to be the perception of back in 2019 when it's like, this is brand number three. This is not developmental on the surface. And that is substantial. That is worth noting, because as Paul was trying to do that, then Vince came in, took it over, was like, no, it is firmly not a third brand. So I think there is some value to that, Jimmy.
I agree with what you're saying. I mean, of course, they're going to go to the apex. But I agree with what you're saying. I mean, now they are going to get paid. They're not getting paid anywhere close to what they're getting for our SmackDown, but they are getting paid. I have always liked the idea of veterans going to NXT, because that's how the young guys are going to learn. Like, I think that's a smart thing to do. And Shinsuke has been dead in the water. Look what happened to Baron Corbin in NXT. Like, what a massive improvement for him, right?
Renaissance. Yeah.
Yeah. So now Fightful Select, we reported today that he's going to get back to the main roster in the draft. And so I think it's time for them to kind of put some more people down. They've been, you know, Natty's been down there working a little bit. They just had Shayna down there this week. I think Shinsuke is going to go. See, here's the thing where the draft is kind of silly, and this is where people always talk about it. So you do your draft, and then like a week later, a Raw guy's on SmackDown, because that's what they do. But it's fine. It's fine. I think what they've done with NXT has been really good. Did you ever think that we would be in a place where NXT now is almost competitive with AEW? You know, like, I didn't think that they would be able to get there, and they're close. They're not that far off.
Yeah, I mean, I was really not into the 2.0 rebrand, but I think they've done a nice job. And it comes down to putting equity in talent, right? Like where you give people reason to care about Trick Williams. You give right. people a reason to care about these types, Roxanne Perez. And if people begin to care about those talent, then you're going to see the fruits of your labor.
Look at Tiffany at the Elimination Chamber, right? Yeah, 100%. Great.
Absolutely. Let's get through a few more of these here. Rumteen, hey guys, in hindsight, if Triple H was in charge of creative, do you think the mass exodus of Black and Gold alums to AEW would have still occurred? I'd say no. What say you?
I think the thing about Hunter is I feel like when it comes to finances, he answers to Nick Khan. Sure. And they're big on the financial aspect of things. So I think it still would have depended on what.
But like, I don't think Adam Cole goes to AEW if Paul Levesque's in charge of creative.
Really? You think? Oh, because yeah. he wasn't a release. He just, his contract ran out. And
yeah.
I don't know, because he had a lot of friends in AEW, you know?
Yeah, but Vince wanted to make him a manager and cut his hair.
That's very true. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. So, I guess we'll never know. We'll never know. Maybe yeah. that's a question to ask him at some point. Although, he's going to
nice
say...
of a guy.
And he would have said, oh, no, I was coming. Yeah, 100%.
This one from Van Twinblade. Let's end tribalism and all agree. F the schmucks in Oklahoma for what they did to Nyla.
That was ridiculous. Yep.
Trans rights are human. I'll say this. On that front, I was glad to see Tony Khan stand by Nyla publicly. I think that was important. And I was glad that he did.
I used to have to deal with the Ontario Athletic Commission. I used to book independent wrestling in Canada. And all it was a blatant cash grab, 2% of the gate, I think it was. And then all the wrestlers had to have licenses.
What are we doing with athletic commissions and pro wrestling?
It's ridiculous. Yeah, it really is silly. And yeah. and everybody now knows that it's predetermined entertainment. Everybody knows.
Yeah, exactly.
And so the fact that Nyla was going to be held off the show, it's silly. It's silly. Yeah. It needs to go.
United Slap Nuts. Love this roster. Wouldn't mind a 3-hour Dynamite. Broadway Joe, to be clear, NBA will absolutely still be on TNT, just the exclusive rights period expired. That's, right. That's what Jimmy was saying. NBA is looking for $50 billion split across four partners. Warner
Bros., really?
Discovery, Disney, Apple, Amazon, so still getting increased. We'll see what happens with Disney. You know, Disney's going through a lot of restructuring of its own right now, so not entirely sure what will come from that. Amir saying, any update on more WWE releases? I don't think Sean has reported on any additional ones at this time.
No, and I never like to speculate on stuff like this. So,
yeah. Crispy Chris, are you excited for Uncle Howdy, Alexa Bliss, possibly Eric Rowan to return after all these teases?
I am going to wait and see because, and it's hard to talk about this without being disrespectful to Bo Dallas. Bray Wyatt was the creative genius. And I'm not saying Bo Dallas can't be because we haven't really seen that. But Bray Wyatt was a creative genius. So I'm curious now who's going to be steering that ship. Is that still going to be Bo Dallas? Is that going to be Hunter and his writing team? I got to just kind of watch it play.
Yeah. And Matt Hardy and I talked about this on the Extreme Life of Matt Hardy, which you can find every Friday, where we discussed how I think with this new Wyatt family, Wyatt Six, whatever you want to call it, I think the important thing is it can't just be ripping off the elements of the Wyatt family. I think Bray Wyatt needs to be the purpose. Bray Wyatt is the why for this group and honoring his legacy and taking a different path with him being the driving force rather than just being like, we're offshoot Wyatt family, because I don't think that would be successful.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's not fair to any of the talent who are involved in that either, because you're put in an impossible spot from that point.
And now fans know that Bo Dallas is Howdy.
Right.
I mean, they've revealed it on television now.
Right.
So that's got to play into it. You can't just have him out there with the Howdy mask pretending like who is this mythical figure.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah. Honestly, I'd have him come out with it and take it off and then just take the character in a new direction from there. So maybe we'll see what happens there. Ryan Lambert saying, Springsteen, who'd he even beat for the title? I'm not about this.
I tried to have your back. I had that picture from The Wrestler. Did you see when I did that?
Yes, you did. That's true. Yes, that's true. Yes. What a great movie and what a great song that is. All right, let's get to this one before we wrap up here. This one coming from Gary. What's Jimmy think on Vince's response? So let's talk about that here, Jimmy. This did come down yesterday where Vince filed a motion to compel arbitration in this whole lawsuit with Janelle Grant. There were a whole bunch of accusations made, but one of the biggest parts of it was he claimed that she would sneak into his penthouse in the middle of the night to cheat on her fiance, who lived in the same building, but Grant's lawyer then responded that she was no longer with the fiance. She was merely living in the place because of financial needs. It's such a story that, I mean, to really get in the weeds, we'd have to spend a very long time on it, but is there anything that you'd like to add on to what we learned?
The first thing I want to do is I want to explain to people what arbitration means.
Sure.
Because a lot of people don't know. So arbitration means that instead of being done before a court in a public setting, it's done privately. And so that's why Vince wants this, right? He's already been damaged a lot by this and by the public backlash. He wants to take it privately because more details are going to come out. And so he would rather that it be done in that setting. That's why he's going in that direction. I want to talk about John Cena for a minute, kind of added to this. So when Cena's interview came out with the Howard Stern show and he kind of showed support for Vince, a lot of people shit on John Cena, all kinds of people shit on John Cena. And I went on this podcast with Sean and I said, you got to put yourself in John Cena's shoes, because at the time that he did that interview, Vince had not said anything publicly. He hadn't made any defense at all. And so I was trying to explain to people, don't let your personal feelings for Vince, which is where the hate came from, don't let your personal feelings for Vince allow you to now shit on John Cena. Because for all you know, Vince told John Cena it was a consensual relationship. Cena's known him for 20 plus years. Cena's fame, his wealth, the opportunities he's getting now is all because of Vince McMahon. If you're John Cena, are you going to turn your back on your friend at that stage when Vince has not made a defense and it's probably told Cena it was consensual? Because do you think Vince would tell Cena, yes, I was involved in criminal acts? Probably not. I'm not surprised at all by what Vince said. Vince basically came out and he said it was a consensual relationship. I knew that's what he was going to say. Now, whether or not that proves true, I guess we'll find out. I told Sean when Ms. Grant's case came out, I felt the text screenshots were the most damning, because allegations is one thing. But when you have text messages, that's pretty solid. And so when I saw that, I thought that's pretty damning for Vince McMahon. But it came out exactly the way that I thought it would. Him, you know, saying it was a consensual relationship. He wants to seek arbitration so he can keep it private. That's where they're at. One thing I should add, because Sean asked this on Twitter, he said, does Vince ceasing the payments invalidate the NDA? And because that's kind of where this all came from.
That's where it all stems from.
Yeah. And I said, in my opinion, I think yes. Because if you basically sign a contract with somebody and you sign with them in exchange for money plus their silence, then you don't get all the money. To me, that means the contract's null and void as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And I also think that, because some people said to me on social media, why do you think Vince stopped paying her? I think Vince thinks she's the one that leaked the story to the Wall Street Journal. And in his mind, that breached the NDA. And that's why he stopped paying her. And in hindsight, how stupid was that? Right? Stupid. Because now the lawsuit came out making him look like an even bigger bag of shit.
Yeah.
And now he's only got what, 4.7% of TKO left.
Which will be gone soon.
Which will be gone soon. Yeah. They got to find buyers for the stock. It's not as easy. This is another thing people don't understand. When you have all that stock, you can't just sell it like this.
No,
like you have to have buyers for it. But it's quite the situation. We'll see what happens. But yeah, that's my thoughts on it.
Yeah, it's and here's what I want to say. Like, there are a lot of wrestling fans who just want this story to go away and be done with, because it's ugly. It's gross.
And it's a distraction, too.
It's a distraction from what is a lot of very exciting things happening in wrestling right now. But it's also a very important story for a lot of different reasons. And the thing that I caution people, Jimmy, and you know, I've got my own Patreon, WrestlingAccordingToAlba.com, and I always talk about this with some of my patrons on our Discord. We truly do not know who else could potentially be implicated in this as it goes to discovery, if it goes to discovery, or if more people become involved, or if another countersuit is filed, or whatever it may be. We don't know. There very well could be people who are very much ingrained in the WWE structure right now who become involved with this. And I'm not saying that that will happen, but you have to understand that there's a possibility that could happen. Anytime the legal system gets involved, you never truly know what is going to be uncovered or accused. So I'm not going to throw names out there or anything like that, but I just think it's important that people understand that that because of what things look like at this moment in time and at this current juncture, that doesn't mean it's going to look the same in 5 months' time. We don't know.
For sure.
It could yep. stay the same. We don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't heard from John Laurinaitis yet, and nope. and he's part of the lawsuit too. So, and he made some kind of gray area kind of comment about I'm a victim too or something. I don't remember what the words were, but so yeah, we'll see where it goes. It's an ugly thing. And, you know, I'll tell you, when this first dropped a long time ago now, I guess it wasn't too long ago, a year and a half, 2 years ago, Sean and I were on a live podcast when this first came out. And the first thing I said to him was it Rita Chatterton? And there were a lot of people in the live chat, because again, I'm showing my age. There were a lot of people in the live chat that were like, who the hell is Rita Chatterton? Mm-hmm. Right. This is how long this man has had this reputation. 40 years. Right. So I'm not going to say he's innocent or guilty, because we had to wait for the facts to come out. The text messages to me are pretty damning, but he's had this reputation. This did not come out of the blue. So you're telling me that people don't know anything? We'll see.
There you go. There you go. There you go. This has been a lot of fun, Jimmy. I got to get this last one in. Fogarty greater than Springsteen. He put that in there just to get me to physically say that, I'm pretty sure. But all right, Ricardo, I see you there. A lot of fun, man. I'm going to be back later tonight with the AW Dynamite review show. So I'm looking forward to that, and sending Sean my best across the board.
Me too. Me too. I could speak for that for a while, but what he may or may not be doing in the bathroom, but I won't, Sean. I won't.
Jimmy, anything else you want to throw out there?
No, that's it, bud. It's good to talk to you. Good to see you again. And I had thought about doing some more, maybe business pod related stuff with you down the line. Right now my schedule's busy building the new house, but when that's all done, you know, we'll talk.
I'm open to some ideas here, and we can. I've got some creative concepts for pro wrestling, because, like I said, the space is saturated. But let's just saturate it anywhere. Who knows? Maybe Warner Brothers Discovery will buy us out. Who's to say?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah. Guess what? I'll do it for 100 times 5.
There you go. There you go. There you go. That's right. He's Jimmy Van. I'm John Alba. This has been The Hump. We will see you next time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.